are listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live, named by Spotify as one of the best podcasts of 2022. You can find our inspiring, engaging programs on all platforms linked at igniteradiolive.com. Ignite Radio Live is an outreach of Mass Impact. Find out more at ilovemyfamily.us. Okay. This may be one of the most consequential, timely programs we've ever done in our 9 years of programming. I'm going to lead with this. In the throes of Nazi Germany, innumerable professing Christians sat silently on the sidelines with whatever liberty they had until it was gone. One of the too few voices, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, spoke words that ought to haunt us in this very moment with regard to the plight of the unborn, the threat to human life from conception through natural death, and so many other areas that are an affront to our nature in God. He said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Well, we have with us tonight Executive Director of Ohio Right to Life, Peter Range, and the past president of Foundation for Life and attorney Jeff Barefoot. We want to represent to you what was recently showcased at the Pro-Life Legislative Breakfast. We're calling this program State of Pro-Life Ohio, Update and Call to Action. Before we dive in, as many news sources today give you the bullet points up front, we're going to do that and then do the deeper dive. So right up front, I do want to direct you to the site of protectwomenohio.com. We'll repeat that designation, but it is a prominent platform for us to be informed and engaged. Again, protectwomenohio.com. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus Christ, we declare you as Lord of all, Lord over us, Lord over our spouses, our families, our children, every single person that you give us to fall in love with you and know you and discover their unsurpassed identity. Let it be, Jesus. We unite our hearts with this prayer magnified by the prayers of angels and saints. We pray for this program. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for Jeff. Let your will be communicated and draw others into you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Peter.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate it. So, yeah, Peter Range, Chief Executive Officer of Ohio Right to Life. I'm a husband, a father to four beautiful little children, 6, 4, 2, and baby. And I'm in the fight of my life. We're in the fight of our life here in the state of Ohio. Planned Parenthood has introduced a ballot initiative, which right now they're attempting to garner 415,000 signatures to get this on the ballot here in Ohio in November of 2023. And if they do, it'll be disastrous. It's called the Right to Reproductive Freedom with Protections for Health and Safety. It's really misnamed, though, because it eliminates parental consent. It eliminates the 24-hour waiting period. It would allow late-term painful abortions on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. It would allow chemical abortions on demand and over-the-counter purchase of the drugs without a doctor involved. And it would eliminate health and safety standards for abortion clinics. We have never faced an enemy and an evil like we are facing today in the state of Ohio. So we're attempting to keep them off the ballot, and we're attempting to inform Ohioans over these next 7 months about the dangers of this particular ballot initiative. Again, it's going to allow painful late-term abortions on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. And if you have a 14-year-old daughter and she is seeking an abortion, or even, Greg, the way that this is worded, a sex change operation, she's going to be able to get that without your parental consent. That's happening here in the state of Ohio. So we need the people of Ohio to first and foremost to pray.
Thank you.
Pray as never before. Dr. Peter Kraft, you know, he said, if we knew the power of prayer, we would never, ever leave our knees. So 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're calling the entire state every morning at 7:14 a.m. and every evening at 7:14 p.m. to pray in this mode. And you can pray this verse with us as well. It's, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We don't need to just save babies in the state of Ohio. We need to save souls. We need revival. Mm-hmm. We need the church to stand up as never before to be a prophetic voice to stop this thing. And if the church doesn't rise up, if pastors don't preach on this, if deacons don't pay attention to what's going on, we will lose this thing. Mm-hmm. We need the church. We need the church now more than ever. So first and foremost, pray. Secondly, educate yourself. Go to the website. You mentioned it, protectwomenohio.com. There's some tremendous resources and articles and flyers that you can print out from the website. You can take your to your pastor. You can share with family and friends. And the last thing I'll just say then, number three, host a gathering with family and friends. You got five fingers on your hand. Invite five of your friends just to inform them about the dangers of this amendment. Invite me in. Invite somebody else from Protect Women Ohio to come and speak to a group of individuals so we can start sharing the information and the word gets out there about the dangers of the amendment. So I'm with this, Greg. When you look at the language just on its face, the majority of Ohioans, when they read this very nebulous language, and it's purposely written in such a way that it seems kind of generic, if you will, but it's very purposefully and intentionally written to allow some incredibly nefarious things. Most Ohioans, when they just read it, though, that they'll be somewhat agreeable to it. But when they find out that it will allow for late-term abortions, they will eliminate parental consent, then most of Ohioans will not vote for it. So it's all a battle of information and getting that out there. Please join us at protectwomenohio.com.
Peter, thank you so much. Jeff.
Jeff Barefoot. I'm a owner of Resourceman, a financial planning company. I'm CPA attorney, father of four, three living, grandfather of four, pro-life activist for many, many years, and have worked with Pete on this project and other projects many times. Yes, we're in a, my comments are really at the nature of the enemy. We can see this already opening in the first chapter of Genesis, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We see how Satan manipulates women. He attempts to befriend them. He attempts to pull them away from their spouses. He lies to them. But he's very attractive in the way that he does that. And that's exactly what the Planned Parenthood people are doing. You know, the abortion cartel is a massive, profitable killing machine masquerading as power sisters of women. And there's nothing even close to what they're doing. The reason they're fighting so hard with the overturnment of Roe versus Wade is they're losing massive, massive amounts of money. You know, for every abortion they have, they're making hundreds of dollars of profits off these women. Now, Pete pointed this out. It's not just the abortion issues that they're going to be pushing. It's not just abortion up until the day of birth, painful third trimester abortions, but they're moving towards the abortion pill through the mail or as over the counter in the pharmacies. Now, very recently, a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals judge put a stop to the FDA drug, the abortion pill drug. This drug has not been approved by the FDA through its normal processes for over 20 years. It's dangerous. There have been hundreds of women die from this pill. And you can see exactly the abortion industry's response to this Fifth Circuit rule. AOC said it should just be ignored, that the administration should ignore the rule of the court. You saw that you've seen the protests. What they want is they want this dangerous drug out in the public and without a prescription. And, you know, the whole point of this is why? Why would they want to do it? Mm. And that goes to the nature of the bill. The part of the bill that would allow 14, 15-year-old children who are just entering puberty and all the sexual confusion that brings at that age, it would allow them, through the coaching of teachers at school, to take hormone therapy on this new wild transgender claim. Now, what could be more evil than that? We've seen very recently the blowback of how these corporations from the top down are stuffing an impurity, lack of chastity agenda down the throats of our children. We saw it with the Budweiser and the Nike ads with Mulvaney, this crazy man who thinks he's a woman, and corporate, big Fortune 500 companies picking this up. The last comment I'm going to make is, if you're baffled about why this is happening, let me tell you exactly why big companies are joining up for the abortion, for the transgender, or for the total assault on our innocent children. Companies like Vanguard and BlackRock, which are trillion-dollar asset companies, are sitting on the boards of Anheuser-Busch and Nike, and they have board members on Planned Parenthood, and they're telling these companies, you either promote transgenderism or we're going to dump your stock. And these companies look at this and they say, we're going to lose billions of customers. We're going to lose billions of dollars in our stock price, but we'll lose more if Vanguard and BlackRock pull their funds from us. So we got to do what our masters tell us to do. At the top of the world financial system, that's exactly what's going on.
Just like the rising sun, my faith is rising up.
Folks, you are listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live. We're calling this the State of Pro-Life Ohio, an update and call to action. We're with Peter Range and Jeff Barefoot. There were at least three significant technical things that have happened in even capturing this program tonight that have never happened before. And I'm actually quite stunned. And one of them involved capturing the beginning of your sharing of this amendment, the language in their own words, describing the degree to which this is truly about taking authority from parents in their own homes, their custody of their own children. They're making the best judicious decisions for their children. The government impeding entirely in this amendment, if you will, being that Trojan horse, asking us to agree with them to be the Trojan horse to come into our homes and essentially become a permanent fixture in our homes, taking that authority out of our homes.
Yeah, Greg, if we go to the language that has been offered here in the amendment, the first thing that individuals need to look at and understand and appreciate is the way that they have written this. So if you read the actual amendment, it says every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. So that word that they use, though, is really important. It says every individual. By using the word individual and not limiting it to adults, this right to abortion would apply to teenagers. Mm. So that is going to subtract then parents' ability to speak into their teenager's decision when it comes to abortion or even a sex change operation. Because this is talking about reproductive decisions, which are not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility treatment, abortion, etc. So the term women or mother is not even used in the document. We know that included in reproductive decisions based upon Planned Parenthood's and their legal experts' websites, that includes gender-affirming care. But it's that key word, that individual, which gives the right to access abortion to anybody, including teenagers. And if you look at Planned Parenthood's own history when it comes to them fighting against parental consent or parental rights, in Pink versus Indiana, in Planned Parenthood versus Alaska, they argued in court, in the court of law, that parental consent is a burden. It's a burden to a young woman trying to seek an abortion. The ACLU, which backs this extreme amendment, they routinely argue in court that parental consent is a burden. But again, don't take my word for it. Go right to Planned Parenthood's website. On their website, it says, quote, if your state does have parental involvement laws, you may be able to get a judge's permission to have an abortion without telling your parents. This is called judicial bypass. And then you can click on that link and it walks you through how to get an abortion without your parents. So they very clearly in their history, on their current materials on their website, they are after parental rights. They want to make sure that teenagers have access to abortion and the cross-sex hormones that they're now offering at their clinics. So parents have to be aware to the reality that their rights are in danger and will be taken away from them if this amendment passes in November.
In a world where we're losing hope and life has us on the ropes, misunderstandings, hate running rampant, every man out for his own.
That's why pimps, it's why individuals who traffic young women are really going to be in favor of this amendment. They are just simply assisting in this particular right. Last part about this paragraph here, widely accepted in evidence-based standards of care. Well, who's widely accepted in evidence-based standards of care are we going to be relying upon? Is that the FDA right now that, as Jeff mentioned, wants to get the abortion pill just over the counter from Walgreens, is okay probably with just having it shipped into states and women can take these pills in their bathrooms and then flush their children down the toilets? Is that the widely accepted and evidence-based standards of care that we're going to be accepting? Is that going to be the American Medical Association or ACOG stance? They've all come out clearly in favor of abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. But don't take my word for it. Go to protectwomenohio.com and you can read more from individuals who have clerked at the United States Supreme Court. Carrie Campbell Severino, for example, they wrote an article called Ohio's Disastrous Abortion Ballot Proposal, and they break down the amendment word by word, and they demonstrate how this allows all of what I have described, eliminating parental consent, abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy, and declaring every health and safety standard that we would try to put forward as a burden, which would stop us from doing protecting women. So last thing I'll just say just very quickly, up in Michigan, they were making the argument, the pro-life side was, that the particular constitutional amendment, if they pass it there, it would affect parental consent or parental rights. And the left was saying, oh, that's a misnomer, that's a lie, all those things. So, of course, we know that in Michigan, Proposition 3 passed, and the Republicans came forward recently, and they tried to pass just pretty simple, basic legislation to say, hey, if you do have a 14 or 15-year-old daughter, she needs to have parental consent before getting an abortion. The Democrats shot it down. Do you know why they shot it down? Mm-hmm. They shot it down citing constitutional concerns, because the Constitution has changed. Every individual has a right, and that would be a burden on that individual's right. So we have to wake up here in the state of Ohio to the danger which is before us.
Peter, that is so consequential. Folks, again, directing you to protectwomenohio.com. Peter, we're going to keep this folksy. I know that you have beautiful little voices. We have actually haven't heard them. I'm a little disappointed in that, you know. But to have little ranges in the background singing their little chorus and how you so beautifully irradiate the love of God with your wife and are living this, we hold you very close in prayer. If and as you're able to kind of stay with us as you're transitioning and traveling throughout this state, we do need to be lifting you in prayer that you have the continued energy and enthusiasm, which needs to embolden all of us for the same. But continue doing what you're doing, Peter. I'm going to bring in Jeff here just with any questions that he may have. And Peter, as you're able to stay plugged in your travel here, you know, we're grateful for that also. Jeff, thoughts on what Peter presented?
Nobody makes the argument for the dangers of this bill and what's in it better than Pete. I'm going to take a different track here. So what are we going to do about it? And what's the listener's responsibilities? Benjamin Disraeli, the great British prime minister, once said, all that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. Mm. This is exactly what happened in Michigan. Pete and I had a meeting this week with the head of fundraising for Michigan Pro-Life. It was a powerful meeting. He told us the reason they lost in Michigan. Good Christian people did nothing. Mm. Nothing. They gave no, people that had millions of dollars gave zero. People, the Christian church sat on their hands and did nothing. The money that's coming to win is not Ohio pro-abortion money. It's money from Soros. It's money from Hollywood. It's money from California. It's outside money. We have to fight. You know, I'm a big one on the judgment of nations. It's all over scripture. Mm-hmm. We have three perfect examples. The slave culture in the South during the American Civil War resulted in a total, not just a victory of the Union, a total devastation of Southern culture that took 100 years to recover. Nazi Germany started in 1928, and by 1945, it was destroyed. The German people were under the thumb of Satan all those years. Their entire society was stripped bare. And Soviet communism that walked across Russia and Eastern Europe only lasted two generations, and it was completely decimated. What do people think is going to happen in the United States of America when we have allowed abortion for two generations God is going to judge this nation. And not only that, he's going to judge us individually. When we meet our final judgment, God is going to ask, in the greatest civil rights holocaust of time, the utter destruction of my children, what did you do about it? Mm-hmm. What did you do about it? Did you do nothing? Did you go to church and pray? Did you have your Bible study? did you go out and evangelize? I'm telling you, if you're not fighting for this, Ohio is going to be a death hellhole. Mm. And finally, all you have to do in scripture is look at what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't think that can come to your home and your family and your household, well, then you don't have fear of the Lord in your heart. We need your help. Everybody has to step up. You have to step up bigger than you've ever stepped up before. Pay attention to what we're talking about. You're going to be reading about it, hearing about it in your churches. We're going to fight, and we're going to do everything I can. If we do that and we still lose, then it's in the hands of the Lord. But we have the duty and the obligation to understand we can be under the judgment of a holy God, and we better do something about it.
Jeff, that is absolutely on point. And brothers and sisters who are listening right now, it's easy for us to turn on the radio, right? We're driving, we're listening, we're doing things around the house. We're delighted that it's informing us of something. But let's pray right now for the grace that we recognize information does not translate into making a difference. Just knowing about this does not translate to making a difference. And this moment, as much as we may be emboldened in praying right now, does not translate into the kind of lived action that needs to happen once this message, if you will, 10 minutes from now or an hour from now. And I guess I want to, give you a little scenario and ask for your thoughts on this, Jeff. When we came back from the legislative breakfast, we were emboldened. Stephanie and I, and we've been in this pro-life movement. Those who've heard our story before, Steph's, mother dying in the March for Life, when her mom was 39 years old and her dad on the way to the March for Life in 1976. And her dad came home raising these 12 kids, didn't make a dime over $25,000 a year, to the heartache of being without the love of his life, his wife. This is the short story. And it punctuates the message that which God calls us to, he will provide for. So we have that woven into our life experience. But some of my children are home who've been in the pro-life trenches, if you will, with us, March for Life and going door to door and certainly praying and events and all of that. But my son asked the question, how is this really any different from every single year we've been doing this? And people have been saying, this is the most consequential time. This is the most important time. And Steph and I were trying to convey a little bit about what you're saying right now, Jeff. And Peter, I know you're there on mute driving. You can chime in if you're in a place to. But why is this moment leading into November, why is this moment maybe more consequential than any other time in history?
I could take a smack at that, Greg. God gives us birth into a point in time in history. He knows the day we're going to be born. He knows the day of our death. Between that day of birth and the day of our death, everything we do every day is consequential for that point in time, for the ultimate goal. It's for that point in time. It's consequential to your mother-in-law who passed away. It was the most important time in history for her. For us and for your children, each day that we're fighting, it is the most consequential time. And the reason is why? Because we're going to be accountable to God for what we did with our time.
Mm. 100%. I do think, and Peter, jump in. I notice you're with us probably driving, but there's something significant in the circumstances of this moment that we are about fighting for codification. It's no longer overturning of a Supreme Court case, which many people wrongly think suddenly illegalized abortion or whatever their misconceptions are. No, the battle turns to the states, and that is to us.
Yeah, Greg, why is this moment different than any other? When we're talking about a ballot initiative that's going to change a state's constitution, that is consequential for the next 30, 40, 50 years. So we have just lived through a time period where the law of the land was Roe v. Wade. It was this kind of abortion on demand, and then we were able to kind of pick away at it at the state level, but we were never able to overturn it. Now that Roe v. Wade has been sent to the ash heaps of history, glory to God, now we're fighting this state battle. But if they codify abortion in our state constitution, we can't just change that next year. We're not going to be able to pass a pro-life bill next year. you know, elect more pro-life representatives, and then we'll be able to pass more pro-life legislation. We are done. We are not able to pass pro-life legislation anymore if this is in our state constitution. The only way we would ever be able to change that is if we would ever pass our own pro-life amendment. But to do that, we're talking about $55, $60 million. Who's going to invest in that if we just lost a $55 to $60 million battle? If we don't win this for the next 50 years, our consciences in Ohio will be seared, will be directed and formed by abortion on demand in our state, and we won't survive that. So that's why this moment, more than any other moment we've encountered in the past 10, 15, 20, 30 years, is so crucial for Ohioans to understand. If we don't win this in Ohio, abortion on demand is seared into our Constitution. When it comes to financially helping with this campaign, as I just mentioned, we're going to have to raise close to $50 million. Now, praise God, Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, a tremendous national group, has come alongside us as well as a few other national partners. And they said, hey, look, let us go around the country. Let us try to raise $25 million for you. So that leaves us here in the state of Ohio with having to raise about $25 million. And I want to challenge your listeners to look at your bank account in the light of eternity. You cannot take it with you. If you have a story that always hits home for me, it's about an Irish man named Johnny, a good Catholic, right? And he loved Ireland so much that he wanted to bring Ireland to heaven with him. So as he was dying in a very humble home, he actually reached down into the dirt and he grabbed a dirt full of Ireland that he was going to take home to heaven. So he got to heaven, Greg, and St. Peter comes out and he says, Johnny, welcome home. We can't wait for you to come in. And he said, one thing though, before you come in though, I got to ask you, let go of that dirt. And Johnny said, I can't do that. I really love Ireland. And so St. Peter went in and he got Jesus. And Jesus came in and he said, Johnny, welcome home. Why don't you come in? Just let go of that dirt. And Johnny said, I can't do it. I want to bring Ireland to heaven with me. And so Jesus, being perplexed, he said, well, I'll go to my mother. So he got the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother came out and said to Johnny, Johnny, I love you. Welcome home. But you have to let go of that dirt. Now, Johnny, being the good Catholic, fell in love with the Blessed Mother, took her hand, dropped the pile of dirt on the ground, and continued to walk through the pearly gates. And behold, all of heaven was Ireland. The Lord desires to give us and bless us much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:14-21. So whatever we're holding on to, we have to operate this time in human history under the realm of Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and all that is within it. You cannot take it to heaven with you. There is no more important cause than saving human life, because we get then to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to human life. But if there isn't life which exists, we have no chance to preach the gospel. Give your money away now more than ever before for the cause for life. Visit us, please, at protectwomenohio.com.
Peter, that's fabulous. And, I just want to continue your marvelous call for us, not simply, if you will, to give, but recognize what we've been given. To recognize everything that we have has been given by a benevolent, loving God, or allowed to exist. And it belongs to Him. Really, our prayer is, Lord, how are you guiding me to give to impact the kingdom here on this earth? Which, let's face it, this side of things is fading, it's fleeting, but how we spend on this side will determine our eternity. It's consequential. This one grain of sand that God has imparted to us, entrusted to us, will dictate the vast seashore of grain and how we will spend that. So, brothers and sisters, just to make this very practical, and then cue you, Jeff, with unpacking some of the things, even recent events that have been happening, right now, go to protectwomenohio.com. Or as soon as you can, I'm going to ask you, as a call to action, as a prayerful response to God, make the first step simply going to Protect Women Ohio and click on the donate tab and just keep it open. Do not close it until you have prayerfully said, Lord, how are you guiding me to be a blesser with the resources you have given me? Now, just to be a little candid, Stephanie and I, my wife, we're quite open. We have tons of challenges. We have a daughter with health costs that have been one third of our income last year. And we don't have a bank account as far as money in the bank and 401k. In fact, we like to tease the K in a 401k is for kids. We're trusting that our kids, we poured ourselves into them and we're not unwise about it. We're all these shopping people. But I'm saying, with that portrait before all of you, trying to drive a nonprofit mission, Right now, that tab is open for me, and I'm not going to close it until we have said, Lord, how have you called us to be not like those who maybe have tons of resources and are giving out of their surplus, but I want to prayerfully consider how we called to give out of our need. How are we called to give because, God, you are the giver, and almost like the Sabbath, right? Setting aside that day a week to trust in God, knowing that the machinations of production and all that are setting aside. Why? Because he's Lord over it all. There's a declaration here, brothers and sisters, and saying, Lord, you are over all. You're over me. You're over my wife. You're over my family. You're over this country. And my contribution is a symbolic expression of my yesness, our Mary's fiat to what you're asking of me that may stretch into my discomfort. So I want you, as you have that page open, ask the question, what is that amount that's going to cause you human discomfort? What's that amount that's going to stretch you and cause you human discomfort? In light of what you're saying, Lord, because you are the provider and you surpass all. So join me in that. I've got my tab open. I kind of have a sense of what I want to give. I want to talk to my wife about it. But please join me in this moment. Make this more than just a radio program that's giving us a state of pro-life Ohio. Make this a first step. Of course, Peter talked about praying at 7:14 in the morning and in the evening corresponding to 2 Chronicles. Absolutely. Those two things, in fact, those are the big takeaways. Praying in the morning and evening and protect. WomenOhio.com, opening up that donate tab. Jeff, give us a deeper dive into what's happening here. The frog in the boiling water heating up, and all of us in that. Spell that out for us.
Well, I mean, you just have to look at the nature of the evil that we're dealing with. When you go back and look at the history of the Liberal Democrat Party, and it is the Democrat Party, let's make that very clear. It is the Democrat Party whose position on abortion has gone from 25 years ago, safe, legal, and rare, to abortion, to the crowning of the head. What these people are about is a sexual anarchy revolution. They know that they cannot adapt the kind of world, the new world order that they want, unless they tear down the family and they have to tear down human sexuality. Now, when you look at how much they love women, we have a very clear example just here in Northwest Ohio. We've been talking about this for 3 years. The pill-only abortion business in Toledo was owned, operated, and run by a 20-year-old gender studies major at the University of Toledo. Wasn't even a doctor, wasn't even a nurse. We brought a lawsuit to try and stop that as the unauthorized practice of medicine. Mm-hmm. It's now been 2 years, and the judge and we've been up to the Court of Appeals and back on the issue of standing. We're now being boxed out on the issue of mootness. These judges don't want to give anybody who has a good argument against abortion a hearing on the merits. But more importantly, if these people who run these, quote, clinics love women so much, why is a 20-year-old non-doctor, non-nurse running an abortion business? That tells you how much they care about women. Mm. Now, this is exactly what they're going to do. They're going to come in and they're going to tell the women of Ohio, all we want to do is restore the rights that you lost as women under the Dobbs decision. Your rights were robbed and they were taken away from you, and all we want to do is restore it. It's another lie. Pete and I and you have all worked with Post Abortive Women. We know the devastation that abortion does to young women, the increase in alcoholism, the increase in suicide, the increase in drug addiction, serial pregnancy, serial abortions, broken marriages, all from abortion. Mm. Now, why does the other side want it? Why do they want? Do they like killing babies? Well, they certainly don't object to it. Mm. But if you could promote human sexuality, pornography, unchastity by having lots of children, they would be promoting more children. Their goal is to produce a complete breakdown in sexual morality. Mm-hmm. That's their goal. And the reason they want to do that is once you're addicted, once you have sexual addiction in your life, you belong to them. You belong to their films. You belong to their music. You belong to their pornography. Once they get you there, they own you. And they own your pocketbook. and they own your reality. That's what this is about. This isn't about abortion. It's not about transgender. Mm. It's about making you their sexual slaves so they can make money off you.
Jeff, thank you. I think that the deeper foundation for everything that you rightly communicated in the shape of the battle is that Genesis 1:27, right? We're just into the Easter season and we're reconnecting with the origin of our existence, why we exist, in whom we exist, our unsurpassed nature and identity. And right at the outset of this phenomenal narrative, this love story of God for us, who loves us so much, he would not allow us to be distanced from himself in spite of our sin, takes on flesh and blood, redeems us for those of us who say yes. Today and throughout this week, we're reflecting upon the Emmaus, the journey to Emmaus, and how again and again, Jesus and Peter and those who are the disciples, apostles, are articulating this connection of that earliest origin story. We have these great, you know, Avengers movies and Batman. The origin stories are drawn to because they set up the foundation for what brought us to where we are and who we are. They're messing with all that. And I'll say the key, the seed that Genesis 1:27, in his image, he made them, male and female, he created them. How awesome a statement, how awesome a proclamation that our very nature is not Nike or Budweiser. You can comment on those in a second, flush that out a little bit. But our fundamental nature is what? It's our unsurpassed nature in God himself in a complementarity of sexuality, of gender, male and female. Men, we will not discover our full nature if we are not in a meaningful godly relationship or understand the nature of women and vice versa, women with a godly man. There's a right order and a right relationship with God at the very heart of it that allows it to have that resonance, that truth through which we, if you will, are called to image that. It's the essence of our movement. You know, image Trinity, marriage and family, icons of the Trinity, whatever we put on the walls to remind us of grandma and grandpa and brothers and sisters and days gone by, and hopefully angels and saints, we are living icons of the Holy Trinity. So Satan, who has no power to force us out of that birthright, out of that nature, can distract us. Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, he can distract us from that nature. And then, as you're saying, essentially, we're seeing these forces that are weaponized by Satan, used against the God that was that created them for himself, to cause us to be seduced by lesser things. Always good in that. Sex is wonderful, marvelous, attraction, all of that. John Paul II marvelously articulates that. But do we not see the compass, the needle slightly off the right or much more off the right, now full blown, that's causing people practically showing the brokenness when they make that path, when they choose that path, the languishing, the brokenness of marriages, of families, those who go through these transgender operations, the incidences of despair, of suicide. You know, as Cecil B. DeMille said, we really can't break the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We can only break ourselves against it. So, I cannot help but not only speak that and proclaim it, but obviously with my wife, with our community, to create a culture where we're trying to live this, trying to reinforce this, and really recognize, let's just be really honest here, the degree to which even those of us who profess Christ, who go to Mass, who pray our rosaries and our novenas, the injection of the poison is in the culture around us. And here is a great invitation by Christ in this Easter season with the Holy Spirit celebrating in Pentecost, the outpouring. It is the outpouring is upon us. Can we open up our hearts and minds in renewed ways to recognize the ways in which our attitudes are not corresponding to our nature in Christ? Anyways, another Greg Firehose. Jeff, spell out a little bit about how we see this playing out, even in the events of the last week.
Well, I mean, abortion and transgenderism and the whole LGBT movement is tied in together. It's all tied in together, and it's being pushed down your throat 24/7. Now, as I said in my opening comments, why would Budweiser make a mascot for their promotion of their Bud Light beer with a guy who is trying to dress like a woman and behave like a woman? Now, listen, why are they doing that? Why would you give up $6 billion of your stock market cap and millions and millions of dollars of orders of your product because you know you're going to make angry your customer base? This isn't the first time this has happened. You might remember about 6 years ago, Gillette pulled this on their advertising of toxic manhood, Well, Gillette's sales of their blades went down 30% in a matter of about 3 months. So why would you do this? Why are corporations, big international corporations, pushing this kind of an agenda? Well, because at the very top of who controls those big corporations are the big investment firms, Goldman Sachs, BlackRock, Vanguard. When these funds come in and buy these stocks and get a place on the board of directors of Anheuser-Busch or Starbucks or Nike or American Airlines, they're sitting on their board of directors. And by the way, those corporations are embedded with homosexual, lesbian, gay, pro-life, gay rights people. Many of them live that lifestyle. You are not going to have a career at the very upper echelons of finance and entertainment or sports or education if you aren't down for this agenda. And now we know why Nike and Budweiser did what they did. They did it because the big shareholders told them, you have to do it or we're pulling our money out of your corporation. So they figured out, well, we're going to lose millions and millions of customers, but we're going to lose a lot more if Vanguard and BlackRock walk away from our table. So that's what's going on. You never really see the real ugliness of the money behind this. I do because I'm in the financial business, but this is exactly what's going on. And now, what happens with Planned Parenthood and what happens with the money that flows into them from the profit they make on killing children? They take that money and they donate it to the politicians that are going to vote to defend them. And the politicians then depend on the millions and millions of dollars of dirty Planned Parenthood money to vote positively for their agenda. Do you want to know why Democrats went from safe, legal, and rare to abortion at the crowning of the head? They did it because they were bought off with campaign donations and told to do it. They rely on that money like a drug addict relies on heroin. That's what's going on here. And if you don't open your eyes and do something to stop it, where are your grandchildren going to be? You have no idea what these people are doing. They've designed the destruction of the American Christian culture. Now, I want to point out a tie-in as though our government wasn't working on this. We've all learned in the last week, the FBI had set up an infiltration group into the Latin Mass Catholics in Richmond, Virginia. The FBI was going in to Latin Mass Catholics and had a whole sting operation to begin to spy on people that are Latin Mass Catholics and call them terrorists. Can you even be
unbelievable?
Right, exactly. So the FBI is promoting, why would they do that? Terrorists are people that are pro-life. Terrorists are people that want to protect purity and chastity and the sanctity of marriage. We're now the hunted. And it's only taken 12 years.
Jeff, just so blessed to be united with you and so many others in this arena. And I can't speak strongly enough about the value of us awakening, that Ephesians 5:14, brothers and sisters, awake, O sleeper, and rise from your death. That it isn't simply this internal feeling level of awakening, of knowing who Christ is. It's certainly that in love. But there's a landscape, there's a contour of good and evil playing out around us. And, you know, the empty spaces were called to fill. Our theme tonight is State of Pro-Life Ohio, Update and Call to Action. We're asking all of us to be praying, particularly at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 at night, corresponding to that Second Chronicles 7:14 passage. And on that, I want us to land tonight. I'm going to proclaim this passage again, Jeff, and maybe just, you know, you and I are brothers. We've been blessed to journey here now for almost a decade. We just came off a marvelous Lent with 14 other brothers, going deep into Screwtape Letters, which is a powerful insight into the way the enemy works in the interior of men and women. And I would say, you know, a lot of this, maybe you're willing to share a little bit of the wisdom of your journey for those who are asking the question, you know, on that personal level, how can I become aware of how the enemy works in me personally, and really receive the freedom and grace that really has to be the heart of all this. That this is not simply at the institutional, political, economic, ecclesial levels that seem beyond us. Yes, it is all that. Yes, we need to be engaged there. But after I proclaim this, maybe share with us a little insight. How are you personally? How are we called personally just to receive the grace poured out in this season, and to really be mindful of the great gift of being transformed from moment to moment. So, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Oh Lord, come and heal our land.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Only you can do it, Lord. Come and heal our land. We need you, Lord. Lord, come and heal our land. We need a move of your spirit. Come and heal, Lord. Come and heal our land. Right here, right now, right here, God. Lord, come and heal our land. We're desperate, God. Come and heal our land. Yeah, let your land. Here we are, abandoned hearts, on bended knees with outstretched arms, God.
Craig, God wants to give us his grace and his powerful love, which is so overwhelming, so shocking, that we can't even begin to comprehend how much he loves us. I've experienced that love in my life. But he can't give us that love if we are constantly in a state of sin. If we aren't coming to grips with our own sin, and if we put roadblocks in front of that grace. Now, one of the greatest roadblocks and creators of sin that the enemy uses against us is shame. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times before he went to the cross, he was so ashamed of himself. Satan was trying to drive Peter away from ministry on the basis of his shame. In this pro-life movement, we need everybody. I am a sinner and I'm not perfect. And Satan uses guilt, and he tries to shame me personally about anything in my past, anything about my background, to take me out of the race. But I'm forgiven by the blood of Christ and by the resurrected tomb. Amen. So are your listeners. Don't let the need to think, or to the thought that you have to be perfect, that your sexual past, that your history of abortion, that your background has to be perfect, or you can't be in the fight. That's exactly how Satan tries to take us out. The resurrected Lord met Jesus on a shore dinner, waiting for him to come up from the boat. And when he came, he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Three times, I love you, Lord." And Jesus's answer was, "Good, go to work and feed my sheep." Three times Peter denied him, three times he was given absolution and sent out into the field to do the work. In my own case, I have never been able to outgive God. I cannot believe how the more I step up, the more he comes behind and supports me. I can't believe how many times I've been forgiven, cleaned up, washed up, and put back into the fight when I should be permanently sidelined.
So good. You know?
So that's what I would say. Be encouraged. We're in a fight here, but be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Our God is bigger than the enemy.
That is so good. I'm so moved by your words and blessed by our brotherhood. Folks, we're so grateful that you've been with us in really going deep into this insight, the State of Pro-Life Ohio updating call to action. Again, looking at the landscape and directing you to protectwomenohio.com, punctuating that this is an important time. This is a consequential time, that God has blessed us to be blessers, that we need to be in the game. And he's going to bless us by saying yes. And it's going to involve stretch. You know, this world needs to see the witness of joy-filled sacrifice. Like, again, my father-in-law coming back after losing the love of his life, not making a dime over $25,000 a year to raise 12 children. And I have to punctuate for you what his life reverberates throughout, you know, my memory, my experience, my conscience, what God calls us to, he will provide for. And kind of even punctuating, you know, what Jeff just shared also, as we are wanting to respond to the call to be God's body, to build the kingdom here for this, certainly the pro-life landscape that is the occasion of building the kingdom, of uniting us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, yes, and yes. All the more, open your hearts and minds to see how God, with all the angels and saints, the triumphant church, is looking at you and me and our souls and saying, that's the territory we want to claim. God, in Jesus Christ, is looking to your soul and mine, and all the more wants to have dominion, wants to take away the junk, the shame, as Jeff says, and replace it with the peace, the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of his presence. It is not just possible. He wants to do it. Even in this very moment, he wants to do it. So let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we proclaim you as Lord, even if those words seem cliche. Even if it seems like we've heard it a million times, open our hearts and minds to connect with you, to see you, to be mindful of what you did out of love for us and continue to do in this very moment, that you're pressing in on us with the force of the Niagara Falls, wanting to take away all the sledge and the debris and the stuff and the junk that maybe has been with us for days, weeks, months, and years. The force of your love, the blood and water flowing from your side that Chrysostom says is the life of the church, may that flood us head to toe, body and soul, move through us, carry away the debris, and restore us with an awareness of your profound love, that we are temples of your Holy Spirit. In that, unite us with others. Make us mindful that you don't simply want to be with us in it. You want to be in us with it. And to that, Lord, we say, we give you permission. We give you permission. We give you permission. Transform us and through us this land that you've appointed and anointed to be yours forever and ever. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jeff, Peter, but all of you who are listening, we're in this together. We're all in this together, and we're so blessed to be united shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart in Jesus Christ. Let's claim that. Let's live it out. Thank you so much for being with us. You can find out more again about our movement at ilovemyfamily.us. Until next time, God bless you.
see your eyes from death to life, from dark to light. I see your eyes inside it.